Hello, here are our readings from our daily reading plan, Seek Him, as we come together as a family of families to seek after Him through His Word for Friday, May 8th, 2020. Today we're reading Psalm 61, Numbers 2, and Mark 9, 38 through 50. We'll start with Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings, Selah. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Prolong the life of the king. May his years endure to all generations. May he be enthroned forever before God. Appoint steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over him. So will I ever sing praises to your name as I perform my vows day after day. Numbers 2. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, the people of Israel shall camp each by his own standard, with the banners of their fathers' houses. They shall camp facing the tent of meeting on every side. Those to camp on the east side toward the sunrise shall be of the standard of the camp of Judah by their companies, and the chief of the people of Judah being Nahshon, the son of Abinadab, his company as listed being 74,600. Those to camp next to him shall be the tribe of Issachar, the chief of the people of Issachar being Nathanael, the son of Zuar, his company as listed being 54,400. Then the tribe of Zebulun, the chief of the people of Zebulun being Eliab, the son of Helon, his company as listed being 57,400. All those listed of the camp of Judah by their companies were 186,400. They shall set out first on the march. On the south side shall be the standard of the camp of Reuben by their companies, the chief of the people of Reuben being Eleazar, the son of Shedeur, his company as listed being 46,500. And those to camp next to him shall be the tribe of Simeon, the chief of the people of Simeon being Shelumim, the son of Zurishaddaiah, his company as listed being 59,300. Then the tribe of Gad, the chief of the people of Gad being Eliasaph, the son of Reuel, his company as listed being 45,650. All those listed of the camp of Reuben by their companies were 151,450. They shall set out second. Then the tent of meeting shall set out with the camp of the Levites in the midst of the camps as they camp. So shall they set out, each in position standard by standard. On the west side shall be the standard of the camp of Ephraim by their companies, the chief of the people of Ephraim being Elishama, the son of Amminadab, his company as listed being 40,500. And next to him shall be the tribe of Manasseh, the chief of the people of Manasseh being Gamaliel, the son of Pedasur, his company as listed being 32,000. Then the tribe of Benjamin, the chief of the people of Benjamin being Abidan, the son of Gideoni, his company as listed being 35,400. All those listed of the camp of Ephraim by their companies were 108,100. They shall set out third on the march. On the north side shall be the standard of the camp of Dan by their companies, the chief of the people of Dan being Ahizir, the son of Amishadiah, his company as listed being 62,700. And those to the camp next to him shall be the tribe of Asher, the chief of the people of Asher being Pagiel, the son of Akron, his company as listed being 41,500. Then the tribe of Naphtali, the chief of the people of Naphtali being Ahira, the son of Enan, his company as listed being 53,400. All those listed of the camp of Dan were 157,600. They shall set out last, standard by standard. These are the people of Israel as listed by their fathers' houses. All those listed in the camps by their companies were 603,550,000. But the Levites were not listed among the people of Israel as the Lord commanded Moses. Thus did the people of Israel according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. So they camped by their standard, and so they set out, each one in his clan, according to his father's house. Mark 9:38-50. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones to sin who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes and be thrown into hell, where their worms does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourself and be at peace with one another." One of the interesting things here that we see in these readings, especially in our Mark readings, is this section in verses 42 through 50. After just reading the Gospel of Matthew, you may see some things that are similar here, but almost abbreviated, almost kind of in rapid succession of teachings Jesus gave his disciples that Matthew elaborates on more. And this is more so the reason why it's believed that the Gospel of Mark was written first. It was written in haste, and it was written to get the story of Jesus out there. And then Matthew took what Mark did and elaborated more on what Jesus had taught and what Jesus said and what Jesus did. And this is why there's a lot of Mark in Matthew and Luke both. There's a lot of parallel to Mark, Matthew, and Luke. And each Matthew and Luke kind of contain their own unique perspectives of Jesus' teachings and what Jesus says and does. It's all the same story. It's all the same Jesus. But it's wonderful to see their unique twist that they provide. And it's not really necessarily a twist as much as it is the rest of the story. And it's just amazing in the slight differences we see too. Because if you gathered three witnesses into a room and told them to give you an account of what they saw and what happened, and they all gave you the exact same thing, verbatim, word for word, compared to another three witnesses who gave you an account of the exact same thing using different words and building off of each other's stories, which one are you more likely to believe? I would say the latter three, because the former three had a plan. They plotted out exactly what they were going to say. Matthew, Mark, and Luke don't do that. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell the story of Jesus as they perceived it and as they experienced Jesus. And it's a very similar story. It begins and ends the same. And a lot of the middle is the same. But each one of them provide a unique perspective. And each one of them teaches us something amazing and special about Jesus. This is the word of the Lord, and the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Amen.